as Colorado and Washington State have become the test kitchens for legalized recreational marijuana, it's worth noting that there's a lot more testing to be done on medical marijuana. It's now legal in almost half the states, but because of politics, federal laws, and regulations, it can take years to get the approval necessary to start a study on it. And one University of Arizona doctor says she's been fired for her work. Suzanne Sisley was leading a federally approved study on PTSD and medical marijuana when the university cut ties with her. Dr. Sisley, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, just tell us about your research. What is it that you were trying to find out about medical marijuana?
We were trying to understand how whole plant marijuana might help with the symptom control for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So this was a triple-blind randomized control trial looking at both the safety of whole plant marijuana and also the efficacy of whole plant marijuana. How effective is marijuana in treating PTSD?
And why do you think that somebody didn't want you doing that? Why are you suddenly unable to do that work at the university?
Well, about 7 weeks ago, I was stripped of all of my work at the U of A without being given any reason why, not even given a fair hearing. So I'm still employed there until the end of September, but they've non-renewed all of my contracts across the board. And it's very concerning, and it does appear, since none of this was based on job performance, my job evals have all been excellent, so it's clear that this was politically motivated. And, you know, I was at the forefront of some of the most controversial research happening at the U of A, which is surprising because this research should not even be controversial. This was FDA-approved, federally regulated research. It's federally legal to conduct on any university campus. But unfortunately, the university struggled with the optics of having veterans smoking or vaporizing marijuana on their campus. They just couldn't embrace that idea.
Well, and we reached out to the university, by the way, and a spokesman says the university still wants to do the study and is making efforts to do so, and that there is no concern about breaking any law or running afoul of lawmakers. Medical marijuana, as we know, is legal in Arizona. How are you so sure that this is really about the politics of medical marijuana?
Back in 2012 was when the university IRB approved my study. So the fact is that here we are 2 years later, and we still have no location for the study. So the U of A's sort of 11th hour proclamations about their affection for marijuana research seem very hollow, because the truth is that they've dragged their feet all these many, many months claiming that they were unable to identify a proper location to conduct this work, when in fact there's miles and miles of empty office space and lab space throughout the medical school campuses. They could have easily housed this work. And we named, we suggested numerous options for where this could be done. It's actually very simple. It only requires a standard office space with a ventilation hood and a place to bolt a safe to the ground, a safe that would be approved by the DEA under an alarm system. Nothing fancy. But the U of A, you know, refused to identify a space, and without a space, I was unable to obtain my DEA Schedule I license, which is absolutely required in order to purchase marijuana study drug from the federal government.
But it is puzzling why it's so complicated to do this research, given that medical marijuana is already legal in so many states.
Yeah, it's the challenge of conducting whole plant marijuana research is baffling to everyone in the medical community, because marijuana is treated differently than any other drug in Schedule I. So, you know, the DEA defines the scheduling of various controlled substances, and nobody can even explain why marijuana is lumped into Schedule I in the first place, because it's lumped in with some other much more toxic drugs, psychedelic drugs that are known to have many more side effects. In addition to that, it is treated more harshly than any other drug in Schedule I when it comes to research. So marijuana is the only Schedule I drug that is subject to the second redundant review by the Public Health Service. And nobody can defend this, because it makes no sense. I mean, after you achieve your FDA approval, you still have to go through the second redundant review by Public Health Service that has no timeline. So they can take 10 years or 20 years to review your study. And that's how they effectively impede marijuana research in this country, by adding all these additional hurdles that only marijuana is subject to. No other Schedule I drug has to overcome these hurdles. Another example is the NIDA monopoly. So NIDA, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, holds the only legal supply of marijuana in this country for any FDA-approved trials. And if NIDA doesn't like your study, they can simply refuse to sell you study drug and effectively shut down your study. Hmm. And that's what's happened. There's numerous examples of this. So the challenge with our research was we were asking about the efficacy of whole plant marijuana. And that's problematic because the government, by placing it in Schedule I, they've already decided for the public. They've defined Schedule I as drugs that have no medical benefit. So when you dare ask the federal government to study the efficacy or how effective is whole plant marijuana in treating a certain illness, you're already putting yourself at odds with the federal government.
Well, if you are able to now find a new safe and secure home for this research, what is it that you'd like to find out?
We'd like to look at dosing options and the different strains of whole plant marijuana and how these different hybrids of marijuana, which ones might work best in treating PTSD. So the study looks at five different dosages of marijuana, everything from a 0% THC, which is a placebo control that NIDA sells, all the way up to 12% THC. You know, the plant is so complex that pharmaceutical companies have been totally unsuccessful in trying to imitate the efficacy of this plant. And so the efforts that have been made so far, you know, in terms of Marinol and other drugs on the market have been very disappointing. And so that's why we really want to study whole plant marijuana, because we're trying to do a real world study. But nobody has any preconceived notions about this plant yet. I've never tried marijuana personally. I'm not part of the industry. You know, I don't own a marijuana dispensary or I have no vested interest in the outcome of this work. My only goal was to collect the most objective data, the most rigorous data possible, to be able to ultimately publish this in peer-reviewed journals and put all of the data out into the public domain, the good and the bad, so that people can really understand if this plant does have efficacy, what are the drawbacks, and just put it all out for the public to scrutinize.
Why have you never tried it personally?
Just because, you know, I choose not to alter my consciousness in any way. So I don't drink, I don't use any street drugs, and I've certainly never tried marijuana just because I'm not interested in that. But I'm definitely concerned about the fact that this plant may have benefit, particularly for our veterans. And if there's even a chance that this plant could reduce the suffering of our veterans that are coming back from war, I think we have a duty as a society to insist that this plant be rigorously tested.
Dr. Suzanne Sisley, University of Arizona researcher on medical marijuana, who will have her last day at the university next month. Suzanne Sisley, thank you so much.
Thank you for the invitation.